ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Welcome back, everybody, to a special Tuesday night edition of the Crazy Sheet. We got to figure out if we're going to keep this going once we get to action, but we do have a game tomorrow night that's on the board, so we're giving you a little bonus week, bonus night to have this. I'm Mark here, and I'm in the podcasting studio, otherwise known as my backyard, and Scotty's back out on the road. Brother, how are you?
Man, I'm good. Got me a little casino action tonight. It was nice. Just hadn't been in one in a while. It was nice to get a little feel. Wish we'd had some sports, because I'm not a baseball gambling guy, so I needed some football to go gamble on, but alas, it was not to be.
Did you get any craps in tonight?
A little bit, just for a few minutes. I did go try this bet that you were told about, and this is fabulous. So I can't believe you and I hadn't talked about this yet. So the pit boss, first guy comes up and goes, "Man, I don't know what the hell you're talking about." The pit boss asked what I was asking. He goes, "Yeah, you can bet that." He goes, "Are you a pro?" I'm like, "No." Like, somebody just told me you could bet it, and I was like, I like betting the 4 and 10. This sounds like a deal. So it kind of sounds like betting the don't without betting the don't. And he goes, "Well, that's exactly what it is." And he was like, "And you're right. You gotta buy it just like you buy the 4 and the 10. So you give them $1, but you only get paid half odds if you put $100 down." So I was putting $50 down, and the reason the guy asked me was I a pro, because I was the only guy at the table when I walked up. And I was like, "Oh, hell no." I was like, "I just want to see how it goes." I said, "I normally roll a bunch of 4 and 10s. And he said, "Well, you've got to be prepared if you're going to bet it to switch, because there are some people that roll 4 and 10s. And he goes, "And they'll get hot." And he goes, but how did you find out about this? I said, "Well, I've got a buddy and I that play craps." And I said, "Someone told him about the bet." And he said, "The reason that we don't do it is because there are runs where this thing pays gigantic." And he said, so it's not something that we like advertise, but it's absolutely a bet. So then he asked the dealers, and two of the three at the table didn't even know it was a bet. There was two young guys. There was an old guy that knew it was a bet. So it was fabulous. So anyway, I just did it for about 20, 30 minutes. I think I won $300, but it definitely works, because when you crap out,
you win.
You get paid. when the pass line craps out, you're getting paid. It's wild. It was, I did hit a couple 4s and 10s, you know, lost, but somebody else came up and got the dice. And he actually made some money on the pass line. And I was just at a pass line bet. I wasn't even backing it up with odds. I was just wanting to play this bet and see if I liked it. And he started pounding the pass line, and I got paid. And that was where I won the money. And so I finally hit a 10, and I said, "Hey, pull down my other 4. And I took it down and went to the cage. So it was pretty funny. And then I had dinner with another guy that's in the same business I am. So
if you want to hear more about craps gambling strategies from Scott and I, let us know on Twitter, and we'll put a whole podcast together on our intricacies and times that we have spent at craps tables and what we have seen over the years. But yes, the don't, no four, no 10 is not even on the table. You have to know to ask for it to even bet it. It's like the secret menu that you can get yourself at certain places. But Scott, that is not about college football. We had a good week last week. 6-4 with the money line underdog parlay coming home. And if you took it with Bert in there, you had a 3-legger that you could have pulled out of a little round robin. But that was a pretty good week. Getting back straight a little bit. Get straight.
You're going to love this. So a friend of mine sends me a text. on Saturday morning. Yes, the hell are y'all talking about Bert and the money line? But I don't even know what y'all are talking about. I can't even keep up. It's like Illinois plus seven. It's Bielema. We're betting on we call Bielema Bert. He just died laughing. He'll probably be listening to this sometime this week. It was hysterical. It was the best text I got of all the gambling texts I get from friends and stuff like that on Saturday. That was the best one I got. What the hell are you talking about, Bert? What do I need to take?
All right, a couple of things we got to roll in here from last week, and I'm going to go fast. UCLA looked really great, I thought, in the first three quarters of that game against Washington, and then they held off Washington and Penix. But I was impressed with UCLA. What Chip Kelly was doing, the light show at the Rose Bowl was fantastic. And they had a pretty good crowd in there, too. So I like what UCLA is doing.
I like the New Jerseys. I thought they looked good.
Yeah.
They had Penix confused in the first half, and then he kind of figured it out, and they kind of started storming back, but they just had such a big lead that they couldn't make it up. That was a fun game to watch late.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was a good one. How about Tulane pulling that one out against University of Houston? And I was impressed with Tulane working with the third-string quarterback. But, man, Houston, if they lose this weekend, I think he's going to lose the roster. And, I mean, this team is already – he looks unhinged on the sideline, just a mess. I had high expectations for this team, so I didn't see that coming.
And they got to delay a game in the two-minute offense. How the hell do you do that? You're trying to score, and they get a delay of game. Really? I mean, that was just a full example of total ineptness. Just, they're completely inept.
How about
Matt? And it's like all he do is bitch at all the coaches and bitch at all the players because he's not very organized and he's not very good. That's what it feels like.
Speaking of poor coaching, how about Matt Campbell at Iowa State playing Kansas with the whole field goal debacle and what he's got going on? I mean, that guy was the hottest coach in America 18 months ago, and he's going to play himself out of a good job, maybe not. And there's a lot of good jobs around right now. Paul Chryst got fired last week, which I was shocked about. I've talked about since the summer. I wonder if he's very good. Carl Durrell's gone. I mean, there's some big-time jobs that are out there for people that can step in and take them. And then we can't go too far without talking about your Mississippi State Bulldogs playing Jimbo and the Texas A&M Aggies. Wow, does that offense bad. I mean, it is so bad. I mean, it reminds me of this. I hooked up with this girl in college one time. And forgive you if any of my kids' friends are listening. And I came home, and I thought this girl was really hot. And I walked in, and my roommate was drinking a pitcher of water out of a beer pitcher, like ice water. And he's standing there in his boxers, and I'm in the kitchen. And I'm going back to my room, and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, what am I doing?" He goes, "You need to pay attention to what you're doing, son." And then he just threw this giant bucket of ice water in my face to tell me that's the ugliest woman he's ever seen. And I feel like that's the Texas A&M offense. Like, someone needs to get a pitcher at the chicken and fill it up and just throw it at Jimbo and be like, "Hey, what are you doing? Your offense is as ugly as any woman I've ever seen at 2 a.m. I mean, it's hard to watch.
When Mississippi State's running the football on you the way that they ran it on Texas A&M, you got problems. I mean, they look discombobulated. Between them and Michigan State, both paying coaches over $9 million.
Good God.
And minus COVID, neither one of them has done a damn thing at the school they're currently at. Now, I understand Jimbo won a natty at Florida State. You know, I at this point, it's starting to look like things he landed in clover down there, but they are ungood. And man, if you're an Aggie fan, they are headed for 4 or 5 losses. And you cannot be pleased that you got this dude on the hook for what, 8 more years at $9.5 million?
Yeah,
isn't that right? Yeah. Don't they owe him 8 more years after this year?
I think so.
I mean, that is absurd that as bad as that, but no excuse for it. Everybody, wow, we're young. We're getting half, you keep losing four damn games and half that, I've said this all along, I don't think half those guys are going to finish there anyway. But hell, it won't be 25% of them if you stay this bad. Before we get off of bad coaching, let's not get away from Mark Stoops and going for two in the first half. My head was ready to explode. And then the dumbass scores a touchdown about, 5 minutes later? And he's got the lead instead of tied if the dumbass doesn't go for two the first time. How these coaches are this bad at math is amazing to me. I mean, it's like, would you really think the Rebels aren't going to score again? So let's make sure we tie them now. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that was so damn stupid. I think he's a good football coach. But it's like, what are you doing? It is the first half. Quit chasing points and costing yourself points. I mean, just completely stupid. And what was the final of that game, Mark?
They lost by 2 or 3, wasn't it? Something like that.
When I needed a TD down there at the end. Hey, you don't go for two. Just call me crazy. You know, is what it is. But, you know, I don't understand. These guys make way too much money to be this bad at what they're doing. And I just don't understand it. But, you know, hey, it's clearly not going to get any better. And it's very clear the guys that hit that next level are the guys that figure out just these basic things, whether it's a guy that's like, hey, whether they grab them and they're like, don't do this. This is a bad decision. It's first half. Quit chasing the points, you know. And you just start to realize that some of these guys just need somebody they can trust or that has their attention or their respect or whatever to say, don't do this. This is a bad idea. You know, and clearly that doesn't happen.
The only coaches I have seen talk about it in recent history are Sonny Dykes, Joey McGuire, and Dave Aranda. And all three of them, over the course of the last 2 years, talked about taking a deep dive on how they manage a drive in 3 to 4 downs. In a sense to where they know if they're going to go for it in 4 downs, they let the offensive coordinator know, hey, we want to go for this in 4. Because that changes the dynamics in what you're going to call on 2nd and 3rd down. Because now you've got 3 standard downs instead of 2, where you don't have to throw it every time if you don't want to. Whatever you want to do. But most of these guys, they haven't changed. And I think it's, you get to the top of the mountain, and it's like we talked about with Jimbo, and it works for you, and it's real hard for people to change the way they operate. I mean, it would be hard for me. I'm almost 50 years old to do just a diametric turn and change the way I operate, because you've got so much faith in what you've trusted before. But you look at guys like Saban, and I know it's easy to use him because he's the best that's ever going to live in our lifetime. He evolved with the game. He went from having a power offense and having gigantic linebackers and defensive linemen to when they said, hey, we're not slowing the game down for you, Nick. He said, okay, I'll build a faster race car and I'll go out and find linemen and linebackers that can run sideline to sideline and drop into coverage if we need to, because that's where the game's going to go. And some guys just don't want to evolve. And it doesn't matter if it's an evolution like that or just the simple things on game and clock management. I mean, I feel like I'm watching guys that went to the Les Miles school of managing the clock and you know, when to go for two and how to win games. And it's just, it's painful, painful to watch.
Painful. It's just pain. I mean, hell, Mark, the other night, U of H won the toss.
And he elected to get the ball.
I'm like, he calls it, and I'm like, what? So either he had told him, hey, we want to go on offense first, which if he did is unbelievably stupid, or it's one of those, he didn't think about telling the kid that. He just assumed he was going to know it, which is equally as stupid because it's just awful management. I mean, I never understand I'm coaching kids. I never send a guy out there, yeah, man, we want the ball. We want to defer for the visitor. We want to go this way first. I tell them, doesn't matter whether the other guy wins the toss or we win the toss, we'll defer. We're the home team. Okay, we want to go this way. Don't be a dumbass. tell these kids. But it's pretty clear that either he wanted the ball, which is remarkably stupid, especially as the home team, or he just wasn't organized enough to tell the kid what to do. I'm telling you, and these guys make too much money. I mean, I'm sorry. When they were making $650, you know, you could deal with some guys making some dumb decisions. Man, these guys are making $3, $4, $5 million, some of them $9 million. You ought to have your shit together.
I agree.
I mean, Florida's got enough staff that they ought to have a 2-point guy, a coin toss guy, and 15 other guys backing them up to make sure you get it right. I mean, that staff, they got more damn staff than they got players.
It's crazy. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm kind of getting to the point where next year when I start looking at games and rating teams and putting numbers on them, I think you're going to have to start looking at coaches. And, like, if you think it's going to be a close game, what do you think they're going to do in these situations? And we could talk about this forever. It's probably boring the shit out of y'all after we talked about craps for 5 minutes. That being said, Scotty, we were 6-4 last week. We hit a money line underdog parlay. We got a gigantic week of college football, one that I've been looking forward to since I saw the schedules back in June. This is going to be a great Saturday if you have a whole lot of nothing going on, which I don't. So I will be rocking and rolling all afternoon. But where are we going to start, Scotty? We are going to start on Wednesday night, a game that got moved from last week. SMU will be traveling over to UCF. This is game 421, 422 on your rotation sheet. They'll be playing at the Bounce House. Over-under here is 63. UCF is laying 3. Both of these teams are scoring between 34 and 38 points a game. SMU's giving up 25. They're 2-2 straight up, 1-3 against the number. UCF is 3-1 straight up. They're 2-2 against the number. Both of these teams are 1-3, shaded to the under in this spot. You got a coach versus a disciple in this one. Disciples on the road. I know you love one of these teams. Which way are you going to go with this one, brother?
Well, I like – well, honestly, betting on Gus Bus is almost painful. After I watched him try to drop back pass the whole night the last time I bet on these guys. But, I got all kinds of questions about SMU. I mean, they had 4 or 5 kids. I know it was 4, but it may have been 5 who ripcorded. Hey, I'm hitting the portal when the year's over. I'm done. No more playing. I mean – it's bad enough you were going to skip bowl games. You're just going to skip 8 games of the season now? I mean, who the hell wants a guy who's going to quit on his team in the middle of the season when you're 500? Well, we know why they're all doing it. Every one of these cats has probably got a redshirt here. And so they're going University of Houston his first year and just going redshirt everybody. That does not bode well for the culture or what's going on that football team, and whether it's the coach's fault because, look, it's first year, or guys are looking at, you know, TCU and, oh, I want to go play for my old guy, you know, whatever. We don't know. But that does not bode well. Going on the road against a capable football team in UCF, I think everybody likes to coach against their mentors, their friends, all of those things. I think Gus Bus gets them ready. I think UCF is candidly probably a better football team than SMU at this point. And so I like UCF at home laying the points against SMU.
UCF laying the points against SMU. That's game 422. That'll be Wednesday evening, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Next game I want to go to, Scotty, where is College Game Day on Saturday?
I do not know, actually.
Oh, you don't know?
Oh, it's in Kansas. It's in Lawrence, Kansas, isn't it?
It's in Lawrence.
I didn't know this.
It's in Lawrence, Kansas. It's one of the places that Game Day has not been yet.
Never been.
And you would have thought all year they're either going to be at the Red River or they're going to be at Bama and Texas A&M. But where do they end up? In Lawrence, Kansas, at a basketball school to watch two undefeated teams in Kansas and TCU play. TCU comes in off of that gigantic win where they just gashed Oklahoma any way they wanted to in that one. Completely shell-shocked. Actually ended up knocking Dylan Gabriel out of the game and slowed it way down in the second half against a Kansas team that no one expected to be where they're at. And now a name that nobody knew week one, except for us, because we've talked about the Mac so much over the years, and Lance Leopold, or Leopold, and he's one of the hottest coaching names you've got in the Midwest. Over under here is 67.5. Kansas is getting 7 points at home. TCU is scoring 48 points a game, giving up 22. They're 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the number. Kansas scoring 41 points a game. They're giving up 24 a game, 5-0 straight up, and 5-0 against the number. I'm excited to watch this game. It kicks off right after game day. I always love it when they have one of those. I feel like you get a super electric environment because they'll probably be inside the stadium when it ends. Kind of like that Louisville-Florida State game from years ago with Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson just ran all over those guys. But I'm going to go against what I think everybody's going to want to play. I'm going TCU here -7. They're on the road. I get it. Kansas is going to be in a big spot. I think a lot like what Appy State was in that big spot a couple of weeks ago. And they did actually they came along and pulled that one out. But I like what you've got from this TCU team. I was high on them early on. I think this team still has a long shot to win the Big 12. I've got a ticket on them. I like Sonny Dykes. Everything I read about the transition when he came in and took this position over was it was just they needed a new voice. And, yeah, Zach Evans transferred. You lose the defensive end that went over to Nebraska, and I think they lost one other kid. But everything you've read about what's going on there, and Sonny Dykes has been a proven commodity that you've got through here against this Kansas team. And Kansas, have they won? Yes. But if you go look at Kansas over the last couple of weeks, it's been a diminishing situation. They should have lost that game to Iowa State last weekend. And I think this team's going to come in with a lot of pressure on them, a lot of hype coming around them. TCU's going to come in here with the most explosive offense that this Kansas team has seen yet this season. And I think they're going to absolutely run away with this one. And by that, I mean, I think they're going to win by 14 to 17 points because I think this TCU defense is actually better. Kansas's offense has got a ton of motion in it. That's what Leopold does. He's trying to confuse the defenses a lot. Joey Gillespie, the defensive coordinator at TCU, can't say enough about this guy. He was at Tulsa for years. He's coming here. He's got 5 weeks' worth of tape on Kansas, plus anything he wants to pull back from Buffalo so he can get looks at different things. I think he'll have this defense ready. And then on the other side of this, I think the TCU offense is going to be way too much for the Kansas defense. Give me the Frogs -7.
You just nailed it right there. I think the difference is TCU offense versus the Kansas defense. I think they're able to out-athlete them. And I think this is where the run for Kansas ends. I still think he's doing a tremendous job. He loses every ball game the rest of the way, and I still think he's doing a tremendous job.
100%.
It still doesn't change my mind that I think he'd be a great fit at Wisconsin or at Nebraska. Candidly, if I'm Nebraska, if Jim Leonard doesn't do something that makes him earn the job, which candidly I think that's who they want, I think he's a great fit, and I stand by that if Nebraska doesn't go sign climbing it, Kansas State, they're stupid. That's where I would put both those guys, and I think, boy, that division in the Big Ten would get a whole lot better, a whole lot faster. And I would like to see Brohm head down to Louisville, but that's just me. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Having said that, I think Dykes gets it done against Kansas this weekend. As I said, I think it's the offense for TCU versus the Kansas defense that is the difference. I do think that this game is lower scoring than probably a lot of people expect. I mean, I'm not expecting TCU to go score 50, but the offense is just going to be a little too much for Kansas to hold.
Next game, Scotty, let's get to the Sun Belt. Appy State will be on the road to San Marcos, Texas. They'll be laying 19 points on the road against Texas State. Over-unders at 55. They're laying 19. This is game 349, 350 on your rotation sheet. App State scoring 37 points a game, giving up 27. They're 3-2 straight up, 2-3 against the number. Texas State scoring 22 points a game, giving up 26. They're 2-3 straight up, 2-3 against the number. Jake Spavital at Texas State has been massively disappointing and underwhelming in this spot, and he has tried everything. Remember a couple of years ago, he didn't even bring any freshmen in. He brought a whole transfer class in, with hopes being that would help him progress it with some older kids in the lineup. Appy State just puts their hats on, and they just go to work, man. I think they're going to crush Texas State in this game. I think this is a massive change in classes. You're getting this line under 3 touchdowns, which I know seems like a lot, But I think Appalachian State is playing so far above these guys right now. They've had a tough schedule. They've had to deal with national TV a couple of different times. This is going to be a real quiet game for them. There's not going to be anybody at this Texas State game. Take Appy State, lay the points. Don't even watch the game. Go Mountaineers.
I agree with you. I think they pound these guys. I mean, look, James Madison put wood to them first weekend of the year. Last weekend. Beat them 40-13. At the end of the day, we won straight up on Appalachian State on James Madison in the upset against Appalachian State. But remember, Appy State was dominating that until they ran out of gas. They're not going to be out of gas today. They're going to come down. They're going to take care of business. They win this game by 4 touchdowns.
Next one, Scotty, Army Wake Forest, game 351-352. This one will be played at nighttime. I love it. And Wake Forest is up there. Over under 66.5. Wake Forest is laying 17. Army scoring 32 points a game, giving up 30. They're 1-3 straight up, 1-3 to the number. Shaded 3-1 to the over. Wake Forest scoring 40 points a game, giving up 29. They're 4-1 straight up. They're 4-1 against the number and 3-2 to the over. I like the over at 66.5 in this one. I know traditionally we talk about Army, we look for a lot of unders because they run the ball, they chew up a lot of clock. The last two times these teams have played, this number has sailed over this. Army's defense cannot keep up with Wake's offense. Wake's offense is explosive. I think it's just going to keep getting better and better as the season goes on, but their defense is not very strong at all, so I would not be surprised to see Army break some balls. They've actually been throwing the ball a little bit, but they're rushing for 300 yards a game. I think they'll still be able to eat up some big chunks on this Wake Forest defense, and that's how I think we get the over, because Wake's going to be scoring in like 4-7 play bunches. Give me the over at 66.5.
Yeah, I like the over in this game just because I think they're going to play fast. There were a bunch of points in this game last year. I think that's going to be the case again. Everybody thinks you got to always bet Army when there's an under. I don't necessarily think that's the case in this game. I think, you know, I think as fast as they run, and honestly, that Wake defense still, it's better, but it's still not great. I think they're going to score some points, and I think that literally, because I don't think that Army defense is very good this year. I mean, statistically, it just is not, you know, it's not the same. I mean, they are giving up 30 points a game, and I mean, we're talking about Georgia State. People like that. I mean, they lost last week to Georgia State. They're only 1-3 against the spread, but they're 1-3 straight up as well. And as always, they do everything on the ground. But here's the key. They're giving up 5.3 yards a carry on the ground defensively. You let Wake run the football, and they are going to gash you. I mean, gash you, and I think that's exactly what happens in this ball game. And I simply don't think they're going to be able to eat enough clock up for it to be low scoring. Army's going to have to pick up the pace because they're going to be having to play at breakneck speed to try to keep up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're going to get a lot like we've seen the last two times they've played. So we're going to take the over in this one. I've had this game circled all season. If this one doesn't hit, I'll be shocked. Scotty, let's stay on a total that we've got. Ole Miss will be traveling to Nashville to play Vanderbilt's game 375-376, over-under 62. Vanderbilt's getting 18. Both these teams are scoring in the mid-30s. Ole Miss is only giving up 12 points a game. They're 5-0 straight up, 2-3 to the number, and they're 1-4 shaded to the under. Vanderbilt's giving up 34 points a game. They're 3-2 straight up, 2-3 against the spread, and they are 4-1 to the over. Scotty, what's Joey Freshwater going to give us this week when they play Vandy?
You know what? I'm with you. I think, look, here's the deal. The under is 7-0 the Rebels' last 7 conference games. Right? That is a big deal. Rebels, this is an odd stat that I love. Under's 11-1 their last 12 games following a straight-up win. Now, you look at Vandy, and their defense has honestly been giving up lots of points. But Vandy's under total, when you look at the over-unders, you think, oh, man, Vandy's giving up a bunch of points. This is going to be big. Under 6-2 their last 8 conference games. People get a lead on Vandy, and there's no reason to gas can them, no reason to go lay it out there. They just go conservative. Ole Miss is going to run the football. They're going to get a lead. They're going to get in control. This game's a mid-afternoon game. This is just simply now taking care of business for Ole Miss, trying to get down their schedule. You got the Tiger, you got both Tigers looming, and you got a huge November looming for them. So, I mean, all they're trying to do at this point is just get a win and get on down the road. I do not see them just pouring it on. And candidly, I don't think Derek Vandy's going to be able to score at all or certainly not very much.
I don't think so either. And Ole Miss, historically, when they go over there, has not played well. I mean, they've lost some games over in Nashville before because they just kind of sleepwalk through it. This is an odd spot for them. Like you said, they get this Kentucky win last week. They've got a huge schedule left in front of them. I think they just go over there. They get up by 21-3, 21-7, and just go into grinded-out mode. You stay in that running game. They're averaging 260-yard game rushing the ball. They can rely on that defense. It's healthy. It's been playing well all season. We're going to ride this Ole Miss under until it bites us in the ass. So let's go under one more time.
One more stat for you. Now, remember, Ole Miss had some really good football teams Absolutely. Over the last 16 years. I mean, that's going back to Freeze and 14, 15, 16 – some really good football teams over this stretch. Obviously, these last 3 years with Kiffin. And Bandy's had some equally bad teams over that 16-year stretch. The under's 11-5 in this game. Straight up, head-to-head. Give me the under.
Give me the under. Scotty, game 390. Let's stay in the state of Mississippi. The SEC West definitely goes through Mississippi this year. Game 389-390. Arkansas will be traveling to Mississippi State. Over-under here 61.5. Mississippi State's laying 8. Both these teams are scoring over 32 points a game. Arkansas has given up 30 a game. They're 3-2 straight up, 2-3 against the number, and 4-1 to the under. Excuse me, 4-1 to the over. Mississippi State's given up 22 points a game. They're 4-1 straight up, 3-1-1 against the number, and they're 3-2 to the over. I like the shit dogs this week, brother, and I think you know why, so I'm going to let you explain where Arkansas is in their schedule and what we got going on at this point.
Here's the bottom line. This is a terrible spot for Arkansas, just like it was a terrible spot for South Carolina last week. And take out the fact that Jefferson may not play because of the concussion protocol or whatever. If he plays, I think State covered this. I'm not positive this game's very close if he doesn't play. And I think that State's defense is good enough to stop the run, and Arkansas sets everything up off the run. Bottom line is State played very poorly down here 2 years ago. Did not play well. That was Rogers as a freshman. Just simply did not play well. Last year, they candidly blew this game. Should have won this game on the road. I think State is catching them at a terrible spot. Not convinced again that Mississippi State's a better football team. That's not what gambling's about. It is where you fall on a lot of people's schedules. Just FYI, State goes to Kentucky next week. That's going to be a really shitty spot on Mississippi State's schedule too. So don't expect a whole lot out of that either. So I think this is just really bad timing for Arkansas. They played A&M, which is a huge game. Bama, which candidly is kind of a gut rip for them because after Bama's quarterback gets hurt, they think Bryce Young's down. We got a chance. They come storming back, score 23 unanswered, and then boom, Bama puts some gas down in the fourth quarter and ends up drilling them. I think what they scored 14 straight to win 42-23. So, I mean, kind of a gut rip for Arkansas, and then boom, they got to go on the road and play an 11 a.m. game. I think Rogers, the bottom line is State didn't play great last week and put wood on Texas A&M. They did not play especially well on offense. I expect to see that a little bit better this week, especially with Catalan and some of those guys out. So I think State probably gets it together. One benefit for them, State's best linebacker is out for the first half for a targeting call that, candidly, I got a lot of questions about, but that's a whole nother story. But I like Mississippi State here, minus the points. Line's gone up since opening. I think it's a lot of people think Jefferson's not going to play. Still don't have official timing on that, but I think this game's probably not close if he doesn't play. More importantly, Arkansas's really down to one quarterback. if Jefferson doesn't play. So I think they kind of, I think they're going to have to protect him a little bit, not nearly as much running the football, I don't think, when you get down to one. So Arkansas needs Jefferson to be ready to make this a good football game. I think State wins this game comfortably, especially if he doesn't play.
Yeah, the market has shifted on Mississippi State. That's why you're getting that weird 8 number that's being hung there. It's kind of giving you that dead number spot where maybe people just say, oh, I don't want to take it, laying 8. You don't get the 7. I'm with this game. I think Mississippi State wins this game by 10 to 13 points, but I think they're in control of this game most of the game. Mississippi State was an underrated team. This is the first time they've kind of started to get some national notoriety, but not a ton. Nobody's paying attention to either one of these schools in the state of Mississippi yet, and they're pretty good. I'm not saying they're going to win the conference or even win the West, but both of these teams are probably a lot better than what most people thought they were coming into the season. I like Mike Leach. Give me Mike Leach -8 against Arkansas, and let's get this one done. Scotty, let's go to another game that probably nobody's going to watch except you and I. Game 403 and 404, Western Kentucky and UTSA. Over-under here is at 72.5, and UTSA is laying 6.5. I am not going to go into a whole lot of detail about much. These teams are 8-2 to the over in this game. But let me give you a little stat from last year. Both of these teams like to score. Both of these teams like to run at tempo. They throw the ball well. They run the ball. Everything's good about it. Last year when this team played in the conference championship, 41-49 was the final, UTSA in that one. When they played earlier in the season, 46-52 was the final for a UTSA win. Let's go over the biggest number on the board. It worked for us last week in the TCU game at 68.5. That number climbed all the way up to 69.5. I saw 70 before game time, got bet back down. I'm going over 72.5. We're going to need us 10 touchdowns and a field goal, and I feel good about it.
Markey, the Roadrunners are 11-1 to the over their last 12 games. They scored, and it's because they got a really good quarterback. Oh, they're playing somebody else who likes to go fast. Over 16-6 for the Hilltoppers the last 22. That tells me bet the damn over.
Love it. All right, Scotty, let's move back up the board. A game I skipped coming down the rundown, game 333. This is a little bit uglier one that we've got from this standpoint. Let's get their number. South Carolina and Kentucky. Kentucky is laying 10.5 at home against South Carolina. Over-under is 49. Carolina scoring 35 points a game, giving up 27. They're 3-2 straight up, 3-2 against the number. Kentucky scoring 28 a game, giving up 14. They're 4-1 straight up, 4-1 against the number. I like South Carolina in this one. I think this team has got I don't know that they're going to win. I think getting Rodriguez back for Kentucky is a big deal. I'm underwhelmed with Will Levis. And he may look good in this game. We'll see. But I am underwhelmed with what I've seen from the kid. Everybody talking about he's going to be the first quarterback drafted, first round. That's bullshit. I mean, I heard that last year about Carson Strong from Nevada, and that kid didn't even get drafted. So I don't think he's that bad, but I don't think he's going to be that good. The other thing, too, is I don't think Kentucky's going to be able to get a lot of pressure on Spencer Rattler, and I think that's going to help the offense kind of get in motion a little bit. The last time we all remember seeing South Carolina was when they played Georgia a couple of weeks ago, and that Georgia defensive line was throwing him all over the place. He wasn't in the pocket very much all day long. I think this team gets a little bit right. Within 10.5, I could see after what Kentucky did last week, just trying to get the win and eke it out. South Carolina, every game they play, they've got a chip on their shoulder as they come as underdogs. Give me the Cox plus 10.5 in this spot.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I just think this game was really close last year. It was a barn burner. Was it 16-10, something like that? I don't have that number right in front of me. It was a close ball game. I'm not expecting that low scoring, obviously, but the difference is I think South Carolina's got a little bit more firepower. And the concern for me in this game is how well can Kentucky run the football? And because that South Carolina defense can still be had against the run a little bit, but I still think they're going to have enough firepower to keep this game within 10.5. This is a big number against two teams that, frankly, just aren't that far apart talent-wise. And 10.5 is a big number, I think. And look, South Carolina is better than they've been. I think this number stays closer than that. I think Kentucky wins the ball game. I don't think this is an upset. But I think South Carolina keeps it within 10.5.
Scotty, let's do the money line and underdog parlay, and then we will come back to the games that we like other than what we've got on the board for those seven or eight that we just rolled out. I'm going to play the first part of it. East Carolina is traveling down to New Orleans. This game, 379, 380. They're getting three in this one. Tulane had that big win last week over U of H. Coming in here, you're probably buying Tulane. You know, this is as high as Tulane's going to be in this spot. This East Carolina team with Holton Eckers is solid. Holton Ahlers, we've been waiting on this team to get going several years with him playing quarterback. I like this team. Give me the East Carolina Pirates on the money line at plus 140. What's your side of this thing?
Take me a little UCLA. Now, look, I like the East Carolina. I will be playing this solo because I think they're going to win this ball game. But I like UCLA in this parlay. I think 4.5 is too much. I think that is a just solid bet. But at the end of the day, it's close enough that I believe UCLA is good enough to win this game straight up. So I like my chances on this. I think the athleticism is going to give Utah some problems, much like it did on the road in Florida. And because I will tell you, I don't think this UCLA team, I think maybe better than Florida. I think they may be a better football team than Florida. And so I like my chances here. I think it's going to be UCLA looked really good last week, I thought, against a good football team. I think that helps get them ready for this week. I like UCLA at home, straight up win.
UCLA's at plus 155. You tie those two together, you bet you $100, and you should take home about between $500 and $520. We've hit two of these this season, Scott, which is, hell, two more than I thought we would when we started it. So I'm excited about it. We're up 15-1 on the Moneyline Underdog Parlays this season, which, hell, that'll get you some units right there. Scott, that being said, we got a few more games that we want to talk about that are big games. We'll try to rapid fire through these that we got. Bama A&M, this one could get out of hand. This line during the summer was 17. We've seen this line get pushed way up over 20 in this spot, closer to 24. If I'm going anywhere, I would lay Bama minus 14. I don't know what the status is of Bryce Young. I don't know how bad Nick Saban's going to want to just beat the dog shit out of Jimbo. And I got to assume A&M's going to have some fight. I mean, coming into the Bama game, they're just not going to roll over dead. They've won this game before, so obviously these teams know how to compete. They've still got talent on that roster, but I would go Bama minus 14 if I'm going to play it.
And that's first half.
Yeah.
That's in the first half.
Correct.
Right? The game that intrigues me is a Georgia-Auburn game. I don't think Auburn's going to be able to score at all. And I think the Auburn defense is going to be good enough to kind of keep Georgia remotely in check with some of the injuries that Georgia's got. So I think under 50 is a pretty good play there. I know that almost we gave that a lot of thought of whether that was going to make the board or not.
Yeah, I like that one too. I'm going to be betting that one as well. Another one I like, Texas Tech on the road at Stillwater, getting 9. We already missed the best of the number. This one was 10, hit 10.5, got bet all the way down to 9. Texas Tech, Donovan Smith is not great at the quarterback position. Last week, the turnovers are what ended up getting them in that K-State game. Oklahoma State had a huge victory over Baylor last week and got a monkey off their back. But I still have not been – the Oklahoma State defense is not nearly as good as it was with Jim Knowles. They're not making the adjustments that they did. Baylor played like dog shit in that game. And, frankly, it was the special teams from Oklahoma State for a kickoff return for a touchdown, another one for 50 yards, that was able to make that happen. And Spencer Sanders, he's playing better, but their offense is just not overly explosive to me. Give me Texas Tech plus 9. If I can wait and get a 10 by game time, I would bet that. But I like Texas Tech in that spot.
I got one for you. Boise State minus 7.5.
Love this play.
At Fresno. If the quarterback for Fresno is still out, which he was last week, that was a terrible – oh, how we missed that game last week with him out. And I knew he was out going all the way across the country. Just completely stupid. That was a crazy sheet fail. But if he doesn't play, I think Boise State absolutely drills these guys. Boise State looked like hot garbage the first half and then comes out and wins 35 bullet in the second half for a 35-13 win against San Diego State. I like Boise in this spot as much because this team's been banged up. The injury list is not nearly as long as it was last week for Fresno. but that still means those guys are beat up. And I just think it's a good spot for Boise.
Do you have any read on the Red River Shootout, Texas and Oklahoma?
Man, I got nothing. I mean, if Gabriel's playing, then Oklahoma's a live dog.
I would agree with that. If Dylan Gabriel's healthy and he plays and he gets out of concussion, I'm assuming he's in concussion protocol if he gets out of that.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, I do like the third-string quarterback for Oklahoma, General Booty. He's got some badass NIL T-shirts, by the way, if you're wondering. But he's John David Booty's nephew, I think, if y'all remember that name from watching enough football. And then I'm really interested in a game that's going to be hard to watch. Wisconsin traveling to Evanston, Illinois to play Northwestern with Jim Leonard being the interim coach. The over-under here is 44, which is gross. But if there's ever been a team that you could get off on the right foot with an interim coach when you still have most of your season in front of you, it's got to be this Northwestern team. Holy shit, they're terrible.
They are bad. I mean, they are not good. I was expecting Fitz to have him a bounce back year. It is not happening. They are not very good. I'm confused on why Jim Leonard is still their defense coordinator. Somebody hadn't given him a job as well as he's done at Wisconsin. So, and I think there's a lot of people at Wisconsin that want him to be successful so that he's their next head coach. This game's fascinating to me just on that standpoint. But look, man, he's still got a really bad quarterback.
It's bad, dude. It's really, if you take the stats out of that Nebraska game, especially the second half when they came back to win it with those turnovers and that questionable catch, this Northwestern team is rough. Two more games I want to hit you up at, and then you can throw anything else you want. BYU Notre Dame is playing in Vegas Saturday night. Notre Dame's laying 3.5, over under is 52.5. If BYU's healthy, I think BYU's a live dog. Looking to see if they get the second wide receiver back. He's had a high ankle sprain. Gunnar Romney's back in this one. This BYU team is good. They've got a tough schedule in front of them. Notre Dame looked like dog shit until that last game they played, and they seem to get things a little bit right here. But you know BYU's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder getting to play this one. And so if everybody's healthy with BYU, I think BYU's a live dog at +3. And then the last one I'll give you, and if you got any Tennessee, Florida, I like Florida to crush Missouri. I think Missouri, after the last two games they've had, has just been rough. And, you thought you were going to beat Georgia. And then the week before that, you got your guts ripped out. They're playing this Florida team that played Sunday afternoon against Eastern Washington and got right. I think this Florida team may come out and just dismantle this Missouri team because I don't think they're that good to begin with.
Yeah, I agree with you here. This is a tough spot for Mizzou. Did you see Chase Daniel made the comment they bought Georgia, he was going to buy drinks or whatever? And somebody that played with him at Missouri, his coach is my daughter's soccer team, and what they were just giving him hell about. You can't do it when it's playing somebody we got a chance to beat. And I'm like, he may owe some drinks. I'm like, what? It was hilarious. He was sweating because he totally wasn't expecting that. But this is a tough spot for Mizzou this week. The game that I'll tell you about, little Maction. I like Testicle Tech getting 7.5 at Central.
Oh, man. I have no read on the MAC this season. I could not begin to tell you what's going to go on up there. We're going to have to get dialed in a couple of weeks because MACtion starts in like 3 weeks, and I have nothing that I got to read on up there that's very good right now.
Well, I was dead ass wrong about last week until the fourth quarter. I mean, I think that game was 16-10 or 17-13 or something, and then they just go off in the fourth quarter in overtime. They'd have just shown up for the first three quarters. We'd have covered that over, but I like Testicle Tech for my MACtion play.
What about LSU Tennessee? Tennessee,
I got
laying points.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Tennessee's the better football team in that, but man, the Death Valley's a tough place to win. I hope they don't try the Derek Dooley 13 players on the field though.
Last one I'll give you, Scotty. Tell me if you're going to have money on this game. Kicks off at 9:30 Central Time. When Hawaii travels to San Diego State to play in Snapdragon Stadium, and San Diego State's laying 21 with an over-under of 48. These teams are averaging 17 and 19 points offensively.
Look, this could be – you remember a few years ago when I had that bet on Hawaii late at night, and they returned an onside kick.
Yeah, they were playing Rice.
Yes. And that is what this game just feels like to me. Just a complete, utter, yes, I will bet on this if I have a bad day, just in principle, because this is going to be the ugliest game of the day. And if you're going to go home with fat girls, you might as well end it late, baby.
Oh, boy, man. Yeah. If you're going to take a fat chick home, this will be a good night to do it, because y'all can sit around and talk about these two teams. What a disaster of a game this is. Scotty, we're about week six now through the season. Things are rolling. We're getting into conference play. Stuff's starting to come together. I like the mojo, the moods that we're moving in. I think we're starting to get some reads on some teams. The transfer portal's already in play with SMU. And the firing of coaches, man. We've seen five gone. Rumor has it, Harsin and Auburn's done. He's just going to roll out the wheel. You told me that
allegedly
Monday.
They didn't have a guy that they felt like could handle being the interim. So they've just told him, hey, man, be looking for a job. It's the reason Harsin's name is up for Colorado and schools like that, is because his agent's out actively looking for him for a job.
And I think Louisville's done too. I think you're dead right. I think he's done at Louisville. And I do think they will come calling for Jeff Brohm. And having a great friend that is a Purdue alum and ex-player there, sometimes I think he loves Brohm and sometimes he doesn't. So I don't know how their feel will be if they're going to try to fight to keep Brohm or move in a different direction. But I think we will have seven head coaches that we know do not have jobs before we get to October 15th is what my suspicion is.
What would Jimbo's record have to be for the Aggies to pony up $90 million?
Oh, God, man. There's no way.
I don't know, man. Hell, he's only not lost four games one time, and that was COVID.
I mean, he's not – I mean, he's only 3-2 currently.
Yeah, but they got a lot of tough games. Well, about to be 3-3.
Well, let's see.
They got Ole Miss looming. You know, I would think that's their fourth loss. And then you know, they still got LSU. You know, they could easily lose that ball game.
Yeah, but you get past this game, and let's say we see a light in the tunnel at the end of this one here. You go to South Carolina in 2 weeks. So if you wanted to change quarterbacks and bring in the freshman and Connor Wegman, that would be the time to do it. Then you get and then the rest of your tough games are at home, because you come back to Kyle Field and you've got Ole Miss comes there, Florida comes there. You go to Auburn, who's a dumpster fire. UMass comes there, and then LSU comes there Thanksgiving weekend. So, in reality, I could definitely see Jimbo losing this game and then going 5-1 to finish out the string, 4-2 maybe. So, he goes – what's it that put him at, 7-5?
7-5. That's 7. Well, if he loses this weekend, that puts him – let's say he loses two more games and ends up 7-5.
Yeah.
That'd make him 6-6 if he lost two more. Let's say he loses to Ole Miss. Isn't that right? Because this will be their third loss?
Yeah, it'll be their third loss.
And then Ole Miss, so that'd be 5. They'd be 7-5 if they lost to LSU to end the year. You think Aggie fans are not bouncing off the roof?
Do I think they're happy? Absolutely not. But do I think that A&M is – you know, they've got basically that team right now is a Ferrari with four flat tires. They've got the roster, they've got the facilities, they've got the culture, they've got the alumni support, they've got everything. And it's a matter of saying, look, Jimbo, go be Mack Brown. Go win us every single recruit, but go find somebody that can coach offense and help us evolve so that we can keep Connor Wegman and we can keep great athletes and we can go out and compete and win these games. And you're still going to make $10 million a year.
You saw Leach's post-conference. He basically said, yeah, A&M doesn't do anything different on defense. I mean, I watched 2 years in a row DJ Durkin stuff this offense with equal talent. And that State was able to score 42 just at will, and like I said, didn't play well. That made a lot of mistakes. And that it just makes me think, because he's controlling the defense, he's controlling the offense. This ship doesn't feel like it's going in the right direction.
I don't disagree with you, but I it's a good ship to be on, is what I am saying. I mean, the ship is built, and it's
for Jimbo, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's ready to roll. But the defensive thing is the most surprising to me. We brought that up on the podcast last week, that Durkin knows how to play against Mike Leach, and he hasn't let him call his defense this season. He's having to play the defense that was in place, and it's there's a lot not working very well. But we'll see, brother. They got to go out and play the games. I have bet against A&M in the Bama game a couple of times, and it has not gone well for me. And so I'm always, for some reason, this is one of those teams that always gets up for this game. And so we'll see. We'll come Sunday, we'll know a little bit more, and we'll just keep on rolling and putting some numbers out there from that. That being said, folks, you can give us a rating, scroll all the way down, give us a 4-star, give us a 5-star, give us a 1-star. Leave some comments there. You can hit him up at ScottDenson1 on Twitter, and I'm at @NitMark. With all that being said, we look forward to it, and we'll be back at it next week. Y'all have a good one.